Well, it's so lovely to be with you all tonight, late afternoon. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Fiona. I think I have been here enough times now that most of you do know me, but I'm a chaplain within this diocese, ministering in Tarrengower Prison and as a community chaplain in Bendigo CBD. So how about I pray quickly before I start? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for these faithful people who are here to worship you together tonight. We ask that you will speak to us now and that your word will be heard and your Bible will be understood and known. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Nigel and my husband and I used to joke that the perfect animal for me would be a guinea pig because they are supremely anxious animals, and I used to be a supremely anxious person. And we even joked that we would call the animal Annie the anxious guinea pig. We now have three guinea pigs and none of them are Annie, but they came pre-named. What can you do? But seriously, when I was in my early 20s, I went through such a season of intensive anxiety that it took a real toll on my day-to-day life and on my relationship with Nigel. Nigel and I started dating when we were 21. And there were just so many things that I couldn't bring myself to do during that time. And I just had such high fear and anxiety. And one of those things that was really, really scary to me was getting married. The idea of getting married and all these unknowns that come with that. It's really quite amusing because in our wedding video, Nigel and my wedding clip, you can see me taking these huge inhales and exhales as we say our vows to each other, and I even joked to Nige that I had the thought cross my mind to run away, and he said he would chase me down, but not in a creepy way. You know, that fight or flight really kicks in sometimes. Sorry about that. But Nigel, God had given Nigel and I some images to cling on to that assured me and gave me hope that what we were doing was okay, and it really helped me with my anxiety. And one of those images was that God gave to Nigel, actually. In our relationship, God usually gives me images and pictures and prayers, but this one was given to Nigel, which I think is really beautiful for us. And it was a picture of us in a boat rowing down a stream, and it was just so pleasant and peaceful, and God was sitting with us in the boat. And I just felt like the assurance that that God was with us in our marriage, going into it with us. And in a way, kind of, the situation with Ahaz that he finds himself in, King Ahaz, is similar, but on a far greater and larger scale, because the kingdom of Judah was at stake, not a marriage, but a kingdom. So let's have a look first at the passage from Isaiah. What we read in our first passage today is a conversation between King Ahaz and Isaiah the prophet, who is speaking on behalf of God. And King Ahaz is the king of Judah, and they are God's chosen people. And Isaiah, God's prophet, is talking to him about whether God will save Judah from invasion and defeat. If we recap what it says in verse 10, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." In other words, ask anything of me, anything of me. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Now, there are other parts of the Bible where not putting God to the test is really admirable. But this isn't one of those times, because Ahaz doesn't want to, he doesn't want to sign, actually. He is terrified. He is absolutely terrified, and he doesn't want to, well, basically, it's not that he doesn't want to trust God. He doesn't trust God. He doesn't trust God at all. Just before this verse, in verse 7, the Lord says that Judah will be safe, the kingdom will be safe, that they will not be overcome, that they will not be overtaken. All King Ahaz has to do, and the people of Judah have to do, we read in verse 9, is to stand firm in their faith. God says in that verse, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So God wants to encourage Ahaz. He wants to encourage him to stand firm. And so he gives him this offer of a sign. And he says, whatever you ask, basically, I'll give you that sign so you know that I'm trustworthy. And you will know that I will do this for Judah. I will save you. But what does Ahaz say in verse 12? I will not ask. I will not put God to the test. Ahaz trusts God so little that he won't even ask for a sign. Because even with a sign, he has decided, he's already decided that he won't put his trust or hope in the God of his people. Ahaz has already decided that he will ask Assyria for help. And this is the background to the Emmanuel prophecy that we read in this chapter of Isaiah and in Matthew chapter 1. Here in Isaiah, God says, fine, okay, you don't want to ask me for a sign. I'm going to give you one anyway. I'm going to give you a sign because I am God. So let me read from 14 onwards. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. So there's these two kingdoms that are coming after Judah. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. So what God is saying in this prophecy to Ahaz is that a woman will give birth to a son, and by the time the child is old enough to know wrong from right, so around 2 years of age, the land of the two kings that Judah dreads, that Ahaz dreads, Aram and Ephraim, the ones God was going to save Judah from, if Ahaz had trusted, well, they will be laid to waste, but the one Judah has to watch out for is Assyria, the one who he is asking for help. So Ahaz has decided to trust in the enemy. And we know from our knowledge of the history of the Old Testament that Judah is taken into exile, the first exile they go into, by the Assyrians, all because King Ahaz wouldn't trust God. That's really sad. So what does this have to do with Matthew chapter 1? Quite a lot. Let's look at that passage now in contrast. Well, as we look towards Christmas in 2 weeks' time, we're anticipating the arrival of our Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what God's people have always been hoping for and anticipating, the day God would send them a saviour to save them. So this prophecy that God gave Ahaz was for that day. It was for that day for Ahaz and for the people of that day, but it also contains the future prophecy that contains a future hope. A future hope for God's chosen people and for all mankind. So, the passage from Matthew 1, and let's pay special attention to Joseph. So, Joseph is engaged to Mary, but he finds out that she's pregnant. The woman he loves is pregnant, not to him. Devastating. So, he decides to leave her quietly, which is quite respectful. Not publicly. But an angel appears to him, just like a prophet spoke to Ahaz, an angel spoke to Joseph. And if we notice, Joseph has a very different reaction to Ahaz. From verse 20. Joseph, don't be afraid, says the angel. Note, don't be afraid. What was Ahaz? Afraid. To take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph wakes up and he does what God commands of him. He is afraid but obedient. And you can be both those things at the same time. Ahaz was afraid and disobedient. He didn't trust God. Joseph is also afraid, but he trusts God in light of this divine message that has come to him. And then let's read from verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, was being formed in his mother's womb. And Joseph obeyed God. This was to be the day that the Lord made and Emmanuel came to be with his people, to save them from sin. The exile that the chosen people went through was over. The salvation of the Lord was here. So as we come closer to Christmas, to celebrating the day of Emmanuel's arrival, I want to ask you, will you be like Ahaz when something scary comes along? Will you put your trust in the things that you can see that are tangible? Will you be like Ahaz and, if God gives you a message, decide that maybe you can't trust that message? Or will you be like Joseph, who heard God saying softly, "You can trust me. You can trust Jesus. We can trust God. We can trust Jesus." Will you have the courage to do so? I needed courage. And I am so glad that I did. So as we go into these last 2 weeks before Christmas, hold it in your heart that God had a good, good plan to save us, through his son, born this Christmas and that he is so trustworthy. Let me pray. God, thank you that we can rely on you when things seem unclear, when the way seems shadowy or scary. I thank you that you give us your affirmations that you are with us always, and that step by step we can put our trust in you, that you will not put us to shame. And I thank you that for those of us who put our trust in Jesus, that we will be saved, our sins are forgiven, and we praise you again this Christmas. Amen.